Our readings this year have taken us really through the whole of salvation history. We began in the book of Genesis, or the first 2 weeks in the book of Genesis, with the covenant with Noah. That first utterance, that first desire that we see of God wanting to bring people together, wanting God to be there to remind us of why He created us in the first place. For goodness, for life, for truth, not for the violence and the destruction that the flood was the cause of. And then the covenant with Abraham and testing that with his commitment. Will you go through in the end? Will you be faithful right to the very end? Will you even offer your own son, your beloved son, in sacrifice? And then we had the giving of the words, the 10 words at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And so we've seen this sense of this longing that is there for us to be brought into fellowship, brought into communion with God. We've also seen, and we also know from the reality of our own lives, that we usually get it wrong. We so often just decide what is good in our own eyes, rather than longing for what God is actually inviting us into. We make things that seem to just suit us. And so we create situations, we tell tales, we do things that allow us to feel important and significant. But God is always calling deeper into life, deeper into that friendship. And so when Jeremiah is writing these words in our first reading today, the situation is pretty dire. He's writing at the end of the 7th century, so it's about to turn into the time of the absolute devastation in the south. The northern kingdom had already fallen to the Assyrians. The southern kingdom was on the precipice. It wasn't going to last much longer, in fact, only another 10 or 15 years. And so Jeremiah to write with such hope and such beauty today is quite extraordinary. In these two chapters, in chapter 30 and 31, in the midst of so much darkness and woe, there are these little lights that are present. As Jeremiah, kind of in this moment of ecstasy, is able to see what God has longed for and desired for his community, for his people, over the course of many centuries. And that longing that we experience, you know, that God will be able to be in that direct and personal relationship with every single one of us. I won't need anyone to teach me. I will be able to so know God that God will simply be there before me. I won't need the stone tablets to contain the words of God. I won't even need the Torah itself, because God will be able to speak directly to the depths of who I am, to the depths of our core, our being, our heart, that we will be able to know God there. That's the desire. That's the longing. But even at the time of Jesus, we see that wasn't being fulfilled. As good as the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, as they were trying to understand and interpret the law, as good as they saw the power of God's word, as much as they wanted to be faithful to that, they were still human and still filled with all kinds of weaknesses. And so they weren't able to bring that glorious manifestation of God's goodness to birth. They weren't able to experience that within their lives. And so we needed Jesus. First, he would come to the people of God. First, he would continue to remind the covenant bearers, the people of Israel, of who they were, of what they were called to be. But on this day, when we hear that there are some Greeks, some pagans, some foreigners, some outsiders who come searching for Jesus and put that beautiful request to Andrew and Philip, we would like to see Jesus. I mean, we would all like to see Jesus, to be there in his presence, to be formed and shaped by him. It's a beautiful request that we should often make to the Lord. Lord, I just want to see you. I want to know you better. I want to be more deeply in love with you. And this seems to be the catalyst, because until this point, Jesus has been dealing mainly and almost entirely only with the Jewish people. But now there are others who are coming. Now there are others who are wanting to be part of this family, wanting to be instructed and to be formed and fashioned by God's word through the person of Jesus. And this is enough. You know, the beginning of the Gospel of John, in the first of the signs that he worked at the wedding in Cana, when Mary said to him, "They have no wine, they've run out of wine." Jesus' first answer to her is, "Woman, what concern of that is for me? My hour has not yet come." So this sense of this hour, what is this hour? When is this hour coming? And now we hear in this gospel from John 12 that now the hour has come. Now is the moment. And this is the moment of his glorification. This is the moment when he's able to bring all of those desires to fulfillment by his suffering, by entering into that process of death and dying. Because it's always requires that. It always requires of us to be emptied, to let go of those things that shape us and define us that aren't of God, those things that don't help us to be the person that God has created and called me to be. And so this moment of the passion of Jesus is a moment when he can finally surrender, when he can finally let go, and he can invite us to do the same. That we can be taught and instructed by the new covenant words of God written directly on our heart, only to the extent that we let go of our own thoughts, only to the extent that we let go of our own ideas and conceptions and understandings of God and the way of the truth. So we let go of those things, as we let go of our own agendas, we let go of all those things that simply serve us, then we become capable of being caught up in that intimacy of God. We become capable of being taught. We need to die, we need to be emptied. In order that, we have capacity for God. So over these next 2 weeks of this season of Lent, let's indeed open ourselves to this new covenant reality, to this new gift of his life and goodness. Let's allow the Lord to teach us and to instruct us. Let's identify those things that we're still holding on to, those habits that don't serve us well. And over these 2 weeks, make a renewed effort to let go of those things, to let go of those attitudes, to let go of those thoughts, and allow God to be at the very center of our lives, to teach us and instruct us and to call us more deeply into friendship and into love with God.